Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how you doing today?
Cold.
Tell the truth.
I'm cold, as always.
Oh, I thought you said old.
No, well, I am old.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Can't get around that.
It's a little damp, I think, is the difference. Cold is different than snow cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And, okay. You know, I happen to think, too, that I happened to go to a restaurant. First time in my life, I left my Chromebook behind at the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. So I go back, and they had it at the girl at the front desk had it, you know. Said, tell you what, I said, don't get old. And she said, I'll try.
Oh, there you go.
I said, try your best, believe me.
You got to get one of those attachments to your waist. You know, like when you were a kid, you wore the idiot mittens.
Right.
Your mom put the string all through them, so we need idiot attachments.
Well, I should walk around with a knapsack or something, you know.
Backpack.
Is that what it is?
Do you want one?
It was a knapsack when I grew up.
Well, that's, we don't go into that. But I, with my phone... Speaking of getting old, so I wear a holster that it clips in. It's got a kickstand, not that I use it, but I just like it. Oh. And all my kids and almost everybody else I know doesn't have any of these things. They just keep it in a pocket. So it happened to break. It's made of plastic, so I've ordered some. They're coming today, as a matter of fact. But I'll forget that I have it or leave it. I've done that, and there's nothing worse. I'm sure you felt terrible when you left your Chromebook behind. Yeah,
but, well, it's been acting up lately, so I figured if it was lost, who cares? Anyway.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Anyway,
how
it
exciting.
Is
what
Saturday,
an exciting life
February
lead.
27th, 2021. It is. Geez, it's only 10:04 in the morning.
We're on early.
And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then we'll be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming. So if you go to our website, sapriston.com, sapriston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming. You should be all set. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, they're available there. So you go to sapriston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Archives, and you're all set. And then finally, there's a chat box. Oh, it's not finally. I got another two things to talk about. But there is a chat box at the website. So after I give the phone numbers out, if for some reason you don't want to call us, although we do like to talk to people, You can go to the chat box at the website, ask a question, or type in a symbol. Let us know what you're looking to do with it. So once again, you go to Saperstein.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat. Click on Join the Chat. And who knows? It goes on and on. But you finally get to the chat. I might have discouraged everybody at that
point. I'm sure
point.
You did.
Right. So right now, give us a call. Phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. And I did forget the last but not least, at the website, there's a free economic report every week by Stone and McCarthy.
And it's there, and it's free. And they're saying how the market had a brutal tumble and, you know, we're getting inflation, the 10-year treasury and all this. You know, markets, you know, do not make these dramatic moves with any type of permanency, meaning what we saw with GameStop a couple weeks ago and again, it was temporary. What we're seeing with the 10-year treasury moving up, I believe it's temporary. I think it's more speculation. And I'm hoping it is, because otherwise the Fed screwing this up is Peter will be in ecstatic because they will have screwed up again. But I'm a little nervous with Janet Yellen. I think she's too much for big government. But it does talk about what's going on with the economy. It's easy to understand. It's a good read this week. It's not too driven one side or the other. But, of course, Pete, as you know, overnight, the stimulus package was passed by the Congress by, I think, 7 votes. A couple, 2 Democrats voted against it. And then it goes to the Senate, where they, what, Pete?
Reconciliation. This is a different process than the normal process, so we shall see, whatever that means. You know, not surprising it passed, all right, you know, since they had control. It would have been amazing if enough Democrats switched over.
Yeah.
And what is interesting, too, is, you know, we have a booming economy right now, booming.
And personal savings, 20%.
I mean, earnings for companies are higher than they were before the pandemic.
Right.
Okay. And that's a problem. You know, people are ignoring this right now. You know, are ignoring it.
To the extent they're what?
Well, they're going to have GDP. One guy's predicting 9% growth in GDP.
I heard the other day.
Yeah, I know.
Man.
You know. And as somebody pointed out, you know, the Fed tends to lie, you know. So the bottom line is, forever and ever, I'm going to keep interest rates low. Well, he said that back several years ago when he was raising rates. We're going to keep raising rates, and then they change their mind, right? So we shall see. You know.
I remember specifically that they were going to start lowering rates or raising. It was one or the other. I have to think. Mm-hmm. This is during the financial, right after the financial crisis, when unemployment hit 6.5%. That's when we're going to start raising rates,
right.
I think, is what they did. But they knew that was false.
Right.
And
who knows what, you know, what goes
on,
you
know.
But I know. So just because he says forever and ever, I'm going to keep, you know.
Well, he doesn't say forever and ever. That's
almost
an exaggeration.
Well, that's about 2024 these days is forever.
23 is what they're saying. But they will address it, and they have enough arrows in the quiver.
Right.
And you know, but it's always a conversation piece, at least between Peter and I in the office. But and with a lot of people. I mean, I'm just not fearful that the days of whip inflation now, Gerald Ford's pin, win, whip inflation now in the 70s, that it's back to that point, that we're going to have lines at the – Peter's smirking because he's thinking it's going to happen. But
we shall see.
Peter believes in Bigfoot, too.
No. What I don't believe in is there's too much complacency. Everybody agrees there's so much money out there, nothing can ever happen, the world is beautiful.
Yeah, but the last week they've had – The other side on CNBC, which is what
we're talking about. But you know, most of the people coming on, it doesn't mean anything. Relax, you know, take it easy.
Well, I think they're starting to put
there's a little bit too much complacency out there. And if you look at commodity prices, they're skyrocketing, okay?
Speculation.
That doesn't matter. It's an input, okay?
It's temporary, though.
And there's a shortage of chips, and they're going to have to raise the prices on chips. They're going to have to raise prices on a lot of things. So we shall see. We shall see how it all. But the one thing to remember.
Well, eventually, you'll be right.
Yeah.
And eventually.
It might be tomorrow.
I'm right.
Might be tomorrow.
Okay.
But right now, yeah, I mean, bottom line is what you have to pay attention to is not the market, you know, and more than ever, this is a market of stocks, okay, market of sectors. So forget what the averages are doing on any given day, that type of thing. Right now, there is this very whipping rotation going on. And I said before, as long as you have rotation, the money doesn't want to leave the market. If the rotation stops, then you better watch out.
Well, there's no other place for the money to go.
Well, maybe.
This is what I don't understand.
It goes to Bitcoin.
What? It could be. People are selling bonds, obviously. That's why the prices are going up, right?
Yeah.
Or they're just repricing the bonds.
Mm-hmm. Well,
at a lower level.
They said the big problem was, you know, everybody has their reasons. There was about 10 different reasons why the 10-year rate jumped on Thursday so much, right? And when they get down to the bottom of it, somebody, you know, who's pretty good, said that the real reason was the auctions are going terribly. Nobody wants the bonds, right? There's an oversupply of bonds. And that's
even with the Fed taking out $120 billion a month.
It doesn't matter. He says there's an oversupply.
I don't believe that.
Well, don't believe it.
I'm just saying just me. I just think there's something else.
Don't believe it. But anyway, you got to watch your stocks, okay?
You got to be aware.
You got to be watching your stocks. Don't worry about, is the market going to correct? And don't forget.
You want a game plan.
The odds are that.
A roadmap.
That when January's down, the market either goes into a bear market, has a big correction, or is flat. And the funny part is after last week's action, the market's pretty flat.
Yeah, and they used to say if an NFC team won the Super Bowl, the market was going up.
I'm just saying the market is flat. First year of a presidential's term is usually not a good year in the market. You know, does all this other stuff override this? Who knows?
I think it's going to turn when Joe Biden has his first press conference.
Give us a call. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Tom in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Okay.
Good. I'm getting warm. I have to take my jacket off.
Well, you know, I think winter's over.
Thank you. Except for Monday or Tuesday, it's going to snow.
Days like this, right? Rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, a couple things. One, what stocks or what sectors do you recommend for a mild inflationary, let's say, rise? If we start raising rates gradually, because eventually stimulus money is going to be over, and like you said, commodity prices are rocketing, everything's going to be more expensive. Gasoline right now is, you know what a gasoline is. So what do you think sectors would do well in a rising inflationary environment?
In a rising inflationary commodities, obviously.
Right.
Okay. Basic materials.
Right. And I would look only in one area. This is me because mm-hmm. I just am not involved in all those different sectors and I leave it up to the experts. But you can look at Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, TIPS bonds.
Okay.
You know, that's the one that stands out. That's the first thing I would think of.
That's a good way to diversify. Huh?
Yeah, and Peter's the expert in the rest.
What?
And whatever
the rest of what?
Everything else.
All the other sectors.
No, you know, basically, you know, we look at relative strength and we consider looking at, you know, what's stronger and those are the areas to be in. Okay?
And you'd be talking about looking at ETFs, I would imagine. Right.
Yeah,
Peter?
Trying to get,
it's a lot
easier. You know, maybe, you know, don't forget the Fed can always change how they measure inflation, you know, and all of a sudden they say, oh, my God, we're going to take, you know.
Right. Same thing with unemployment. I mean, you
know,
they
can
change it.
So,
building so much debt. If they pass this stimulus package, you're looking at $33 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
And it's more than, what did they say, 150% over GDP?
Yeah, I would think.
That's scary in itself.
Well, it is, but the major problem would be, and that's why they want to keep interest rates down, because God forbid, you know, the bond ever went to 3 or 4%. I don't know how they pay the interest on that, you know.
So, yeah, that's right.
So okay, that's.
Sell them to China?
You know, a couple stocks to look at. I've been very fortunate with this one stock that was really a biotech. A lot of biotechs just flame out because you know, they can't get past certain, you know, FDA approvals and so forth. Mm-hmm. But this one, take a look at it. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but O is in Oscar, N is in Nancy, P is in Paul, H is in Harry.
I'm not familiar with it.
That's Oncology Pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
And it's an unbelievable chart.
O N P H, Oscar, Nancy, Paul, Henry?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't.
O N P H.
Is it a penny stock?
No.
Really? What price is the trade at?
About 40,
really?
45.
Yeah, I'm not coming up with that either.
Yeah, stock charts has it, Pete.
Do they? Okay, let me go to stock chart.
O-N-P-H.
Yeah, 43.80.
But I got in January around $6. And
nice.
It's been a rocket.
And why'd you get in?
I had got a tip on it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Well, sometimes it pans out. I say a lot of the biotechs don't. They don't. But this one, what I'm interested in is where you think this stock is going. You can tell.
No,
up or down.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking. It's interesting. Stock Charts has it. You know, I'm looking at another service I have. They don't have that stock. Is this a recent new issue or something? Or I mean, it looks like the stock was trading
maybe last
for
year.
Maybe 30 cents.
Yeah, it was doing nothing.
It was a quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. In that.
A quarter's
area.
A good place to buy a stock, isn't it?
You can only lose a quarter. If I could only lose a quarter of a point on every investment I've ever made, I'd be ecstatic, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a good question on this thing. Hang on. You know, the bottom line being that, you know, most of the websites, for some reason, have no knowledge of this stock, which is really wacky.
Hmm. All right. Well, it is on Yahoo Finance.
Yeah, it is there. It's on Stock Charts, but... Yeah, you know, the normal services I use that don't, you know, that stock trading services and so forth, and you know,
don't
show anything at all. Let me look at one other thing real quick. Oh my God, this thing's just flying. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, apparently, on Friday it really flew up.
Yeah,
too.
They signed a worldwide licensing agreement with CyBlue Inc.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a chemotherapeutic agent.
Really.
Yeah.
Now, this is a tough one only because it's rocketed so high. Even trying to figure out a stop point or a reevaluation.
You better take some money off the table.
I have already.
Right.
Okay. Did on Friday.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I mean, what you really have to do is come up with how much you're willing to give back, you know.
And, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just wondered what charts show on this, but
they're going to show it's going to the moon because it came from a quarter and it's $40. I mean, you can't go by that.
Well, the problem is that
but isn't there a level of support for a price or, you know?
Well, the
problem
is
you get rapid movements like this. You can find anything you want, but this is not a stock that has a general uptrend or down. I mean, it's all up.
See, normally you'd use, you know, some kind of moving average, you know. And if I, if I used a, it looks like it's a 50-day. I mean, that's all the way back at 8.25.
Well, I remember you talked to that lady that did very well on fuel cell. It
right.
Did a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At the end of January, the stock was $1.30. I mean, it's parabolic. I've always wanted to use that term. So.
Well, but there was
well, it is. It's a stock that is parabolic.
There you go. Let me do one other thing.
Peter's working his magic.
You take all your time with this.
Oh no, that's no problem. We have
Peter
all the
likes
time
us.
In the world. Right?
This is what keeps Peter going.
Keeps what?
You may want to buy some on Monday morning.
Well,
then you'll see it at a quarter.
Unbelievable. What I'd like to do, but, you know, as I told Jim, the producer here, I hate computers, right? Because most of the time they don't work properly. You know, no
it's usually the operator.
That. It's not the operator.
No. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
That's
so,
what computers have always been and always will be.
Well, also, they become garbage after a while. You know, that's, they say no matter how much you clean up a computer and so forth, after a couple of years, it's junk, you know, when it really comes down to it. So,
who says that?
Anybody that you look at, they say they just get worse and worse and worse over the years.
Well, they can't handle, they cannot handle the security issues after a while.
Yeah, that's true, too. And then,
that's Apple's plan, is to make things obsolete.
Well, it's Windows, you know. It's
yeah.
You know, they keep updating things all the time that screw the computers up left and right, you know, and also,
yeah,
but you have to buy a new computer, you know, because,
right.
Many years ago, not to get off in the, but, you know, many years ago, they used to make sure that 100% of the stuff out there would be compatible. Now they go, if it's 60%, who cares, you know.
Right,
so,
that's right.
So, you know, even a 10-day moving average is back at 20, okay? So, and the most recent support's in the 20 area. So, I don't know what you come up with. You know, that's okay. You have to decide.
I mean, whatever they're doing must be tremendous.
You're right.
And, you know,
try a stock that has more sanity to it.
Okay.
let's try.
These days, are there any? But go ahead.
Airbnb.
Oh, that's,
I know the valuation is extremely high.
And everybody loves it.
Pardon me?
Everybody loves it.
I know they do.
They're raving about
the symbol?
Airbnb.
No, but what's the symbol?
It's going to be A-B-N-B.
Okay, that's a concern.
So I don't know. You know, it's like discounting the future. Yeah, they had good earnings, and they're saying, oh, my God, can you imagine what's going to happen? But it's a wild stock.
Close at 206.35.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Correct.
Do you own the stock?
I do.
Yeah,
okay.
You should be sitting here doing the show for crying out loud.
Right. Well, this isn't quite as bad, okay? In other words.
I didn't get in this one early because I didn't know what the pandemic would do with these people that travel and went to somebody's house.
Yep.
I don't have a good feeling for that, but it's going to happen.
That's because you're older than 50 years old, I assume,
right?
It's the millennials. I was thinking the same thing. I've never used an Airbnb, but people use them, and it's profitable for both sides. It's a savings.
Well, my sister in Texas, they loan out their casita for Airbnb. They never did before, but in the last 2 years, they have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Right now you have this gigantic trading range. Okay, from about 180 to 216. So it would have to give a breakout to say 220 to take that trading range out. And for what it's worth, the potential price target on it, you know, based on the charting method, is 274.
Okay.
Now if
so
you,
support is. Again?
Is way back at 180. Okay.
180. Okay,
yeah.
That's the number.
Right.
That's the number.
Right.
Okay.
And actually,
the
200-day moving average is 173, so as long as you're above, you know, that general area, you're okay.
I like to put a stop in then, about 180. That's what I generally do.
Well, you'd put it under the 180, you know. So
173?
Well, I'd probably say either 174 or 178, your choice.
Okay. That's where you would put your stop.
Right.
Okay.
Or reevaluate. Depends how you do things, yeah.
All right. That's enough for today.
You did a good job.
Questions. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Okay. Numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good,
okay.
Sir. Good morning.
Okay, what's up?
Good. A couple charts, if you wouldn't mind looking at. Give me your opinion on RHP. RHP.
What is an RHP, anyway?
It's a hotel REIT.
Yeah, it's what is this? Ryman Hospitality Properties, yeah.
77.29.
Nice chart. Had a big Friday for some reason.
Look at it with its moving averages. How it's respected all the averages.
Well, let me go back to. Hang on a second.
They had earnings, Pete.
Oh, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it bounced right off the 50-day.
Yeah.
So
Second one is Carnival, CCL.
CCL. Well, what moving average are you looking at there?
20.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, these are reopened stocks. I mean, you sell a put on them, and you can keep rolling down and down. You know what I mean? There's some wiggle room here. I think they're real safe.
Well, there's wiggle room. What's safe? I don't know. You know, I've been beginning to think what's going to happen. Could be wrong. You know, can't believe I could be wrong. But I think once you get the big reopening, maybe the stocks will sell off, because most of the gains have already gone into a lot of these stocks.
Yeah, selling the news.
Yeah. So I would be careful there.
Carnival closed 26.75.
Levels for selling pre-COVID March are well below, unless you feel nobody's going to go to hotels or nobody's going to go on a cruise.
Oh, no, this might be okay in this one. But, like, for example, there are other ones, you know, like Royal Caribbean and stuff. I'm saying by the time the reopening comes, whoever knows when that's going to be, I think most of the gains will have been in these stocks.
Right. But if you do 2 weeks, though, you're
oh, saying, yeah, not, 2 weeks, yeah. Not, oh, sure.
I'm not saying but, going out 2-3 months.
Oh, no, I mean, no. We're not reopening in 2 weeks. So.
No, but I'm saying where they're trading compared to where they did pre, and it gives you the option. You could roll them until you come to a price that you just drop dead low where you want to take them.
Right. Yep. You have to compare it to where it's been. I mean, I'm looking at, like, you know, Southwest Airlines, which is going berserk.
Right.
And, you know, is that a bit overdone? Maybe. That may be a new all-time high for all I know.
Well, I was fooling around with that JETS, the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the ETF. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was playing around with the options back when it was 22-23 level and selling puts, and then I never took the common because the puts expired. But look how that thing's ran up.
Oh, it's unbelievable. That's what I mean. You know, to me, I think that's overdone. But but it can continue to be overdone. Like I say, any of these, that especially like this, I think that might be an all-time high. I don't know. I don't have a chart that far back, but.
But to the point, though, there's a big difference between buying the common on any of these and
selling a put.
Oh, yeah. Going out 2 weeks.
I agree. Big difference. Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good show. Thanks.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for calling. Okay. Right now, phone lines are wide open. 803-1520. Toll free 800-879-7541. And what?
I don't know.
I'm going to take a quick 1 minute break because you're looking at me with that look.
You know,
we'll be back in 1 minute.
Trying to work.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11. Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco of Sapperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at sapperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctor Show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Sapperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Right now, phone lines wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go quickly to the chat box.
Yep. So somebody asked about tips, where you buy tips.
And okay.
Mutual fund has a Treasury Inflation Protected Securities bond fund. There's any of the providers, the ETFs, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. I don't have a favorite one, so I don't know if Pete does, but you can find them anywhere. And then somebody is asking, Peter, is it time to nibble on Apple, which closed at 129.26?
Yep. Have to laugh at that, right? Nibble on an apple.
Very good.
Well, looking at it, it closed at 121 under a bit of pressure. It's under the 50-day, 131. I mean, it depends on how much risk. What you want to say is the 200 days back at 112, and you want to see Apple hold above 112. So, you know, resistance right now is probably going to be around 128, maybe 130. Depends. I mean, if you feel really confident about it, and you know, you might nibble, as you say, and right. You could buy a little lower. And as long as it didn't, you know, drop below that, the worst case, I certainly wouldn't want to see it drop to, say, 102 would be a definite reevaluation, whatever you want to call it at that point in time.
And I gave the wrong price. It's 121 on the close at 129. But I think you can start buying the stock. I mean, it's a great stock.
I mean, the 200 days, 112, I'd like to see it stay above there. And
I could take one bite out of that.
And the worst case, like I said, if it did go to 104, I would very strongly have to reevaluate it at that point. Okay, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Jim in Orchard Park. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Great.
Wonderful. Now, I have one stock I do own, and it is EVFM, Eleanor Victory Frank and
Mary.
Mary. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I had a lot of choices.
I hope your wife's name's not Mary.
I guess better not be.
I know. Okay, what's
387 on the close? Oh,
yeah, what's the story on this thing anyway? It's a bioscience. Anything big coming up supposedly for them?
I'm doing fairly well with it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, the chart's not the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
Although, and I'd really take this with a grain of salt, the price objective on the chart is 12, you know, but...
What is it now?
$3.87.
Okay.
So I would say, you know, if it went, say, to under 3, okay, then, you know, if you're willing to sit and not worry about it going... But if it went under 3, then I'd reevaluate it at that point.
Yeah, yep. Okay. And I have another one.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, Irene, and Victory.
Oh, you're playing that one, huh?
Yeah, you know, that's gone up from 10 to 60 and back down to something, I don't know.
Yeah, back down to...
30 and three quarters, Pete?
Yeah.
30.75.
So you own that one. It did turn on Friday. It's a favorite of the trading rooms, the Reddit players, so you get all that volatility for one thing.
Is this a SPAC?
They're a SPAC.
Okay, there you go.
And they just, I think, completed their merger. I'm pretty sure. I think they completed their merger.
But I didn't think the merger went through.
Oh, it didn't go through yet?
Lumen's Motors, whatever it is, I don't know.
Lucid, that's right. Lucid,
yeah.
I don't know. I had a feeling it did. I don't know why.
Well, it could have. You could be right.
But, you know, one thing that they always...
It says here, Lucid Motors confirmed SPAC deal. That was February 22nd.
Yeah.
There were rumors out there that it wasn't.
Yeah. But... A lot, you know, not all cases, but they say that after they evaluated all these SPACs for the last, I don't know how many years, of course now they're really popular, that most of the gain, if not all of the gain, happens up to the point where the merger's announced, okay? And then after that, forget it, you know.
Yeah, and I think there's a personal conflict between Elon Musk and the gentleman that's the founder of this other one. Wasn't he a former, he says he's a former engineer, but Musk said he was lower level or something.
But anyway, I mean, obviously it got buried, you know, I hope you didn't ride it all the way up and all the way back down, but.
No.
Yeah. I mean, long term, the 200-day is at 15, 16. The 50 days at 23. And I would say on the chart, you'd get another sell signal if it went to 26. So,
okay.
Yep. So I would reevaluate it definitely at 26. If you intend to be a long-term holder, you certainly don't want to see it go under 15. You know.
Okay, good. Now, I do have one more if you got time.
Oh, sure.
And you brought this up last week.
Uh-oh.
Tom, Sally, Nancy, Peter.
Nancy, Peter.
Somebody brought it up last week.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, it's I remember somebody
seven.
Bringing it up. Oh, it's the one that became humble?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yep. So is that why you don't get a chart on it?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
You got to throw a D on it, Pete.
Oh, D? Okay.
A D.
A D. T N S P D.
Yeah, T S N P.
Yeah, I know that, but since it became humble, you know.
It's on the pink sheets.
The new symbol is going to be H U M. Well, no.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, no, it's not going to be. It's going to be TSNPD, right, on the pink sheets. And I don't know why
I can't get it.
Yeah, I can't get a quote on it at all. So I don't know. What price was it trading at, anyway?
$1.07 or something.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't get anything on that now.
Okay. I thought you did last week. But
yeah, last week was okay because I don't think they completed the deal.
Oh.
So I'll try to look at it, you know, during the week, and we'll try it again next week.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thanks for calling. Have a good weekend.
So would it be Humble Energy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's H-U-M-L.
H-U-M-L, okay.
That's what I'm getting, and it's...
Really?
Close at 274, I think.
Is that
224?
Does that sound right?
180?
I don't know. We'll look at it during the week and come back next week and we'll see what we find.
All right, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Hey, right now, phone line's wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
We got a couple on the chat room, Peter.
Okay.
A quick one and then a little extended one. Somebody's looking at MLM, which closed at 326.87. That's Martin Marietta.
Oh, really?
Martin
oh my
Marietta
God.
Basic Materials or something.
Oh, my God. Look what this has done. Oh, I remember when this thing, how low this thing was, Martin Marietta, years ago. My God.
But
anyway.
This, I think, was this is Martin Marietta Materials.
Okay.
It was probably a spinoff, I'm
Could
I'm
have
assuming.
Been. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. Beautiful chart. I mean, potential price objective, you know, once again, based on the charting method, comes up with 432. So I'd like that, especially since it closed at, what, 336.87? 200 days back at 246. The 50 days at 300, so it's above both of those. So the first reevaluation point would be under the 50-day. At 300, under 300. And long-term, reevaluate if under 246. Looks very good here, to say the least. So just watch those levels, you know. You know, obviously first the 50-day. Okay.
All right. So somebody asked Pete a rather lengthy question, but might as well go through it. They were in early. Reads, Steve Blumenthal's on my radar commentary on bond yields, indicators, and market peaks. Is he in Barron's?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't recognize
Brings in excerpts from Ned Davis, Jeffrey Gunlatch. The person says, my main beef is what's the problem with 2% inflation? Isn't that one of the goals of the Fed? Blumenthal is CMG Capital, partner with John Malden, a past Peter Greco favorite. Please comment on copper and gold ratio. Inflation level optimum range. What are the signals to watch for tactically moving to bonds, convertibles, money markets? And what do we recommend if volatility downturn is expected? And what other equities are good vehicles for investing in the rise of commodity copper prices besides Freeport-McMoRan? All right, you got that all?
No.
Okay.
I can't even, you know, I can't remember my name, you know, let alone. There you go.
Yeah, so I, you know.
Hey, number one, what's the problem with 2% inflation? No problem.
That's our goal.
But I think some people are saying the Fed's nuts and inflation's going to be a lot higher than 2%.
And it's, well.
That's what they're worried about.
Right. And it depends how you get there.
Right, right. Exactly. So that's number one. Nothing wrong with 2%, but there's some expectations out there that, you know, and the Fed, as we know from past history, tends to overshoot, undershoot, so forth and so on, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so the first problem is inflation going to be much higher than 2%? And like I say, they can always change the way they calculate it, which they tend to do. But anyway, all right, next.
Right. And what then, you know, how do you, with the copper and gold ratio, I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that either, really, to tell you the truth.
You know, what are the signals to watch for tactically moving to bonds, convertibles, money markets? Well, bonds, I don't think you want to buy bonds in here because as interest rates go up, the principal usually goes down. It's an inverse relationship. So,
you see, what you have to look at how they're performing, okay? You know, in other words, if all of a sudden bonds are outperforming the market, then you want to start moving to bonds, right? So you're going to get that clue. You're going to look at things like, what is it, TNX? Is that one of the symbols, I think?
I think so.
TNX is, I forget which is which, to tell you the truth, but let me just pull that up real quick. Because I know you have TNX, TLT, right? TNX is the 10-year yield index. And the TLT is, and I probably use the TNX really, because the TNT I think is a longer term one. It's a 20-year. So, So I'd look at the 10-year TNX. You could do a relative strength analysis of it, which means, you know, divide the TNX by the S&P. You know, you could use the SPY, you know, which is an ETF for the S&P. And if that number is greater than one for a certain period of time and looks like it's climbing, it's telling you it's time to be in bonds, right? If it's dropping relative to the S&P, you know, you have to say, okay, I guess I just stick in stocks. You know?
Right. And then regarding the commodity prices for the rise of commodity besides Freeport-McMoRan, I mean, there's ETFs.
There's tons of them. What you ought to do is look at the like the DBB, which I think is the materials ETF,
right?
And then drill down within the DBD. You know, you can find that on Google. You know,
right.
you know
what their individual
what their stocks are,
right.
And
if you want
there's a whole
stocks,
list
right.
of materials stocks there.
There you go. Very good.
And then what you want to do is, you know, you want to bring up some kind of performance, you know, of all the stocks there, and you can see which ones are the outperformers and which ones are the laggards. So that's what I would do.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go next to
Paul.
Paul.
And Sloan.
And Sloan.
Sloan. Yeah, how you guys doing?
Okay,
good,
how are you?
How are you?
Hanging in there. Hey, you know, the thing with the Fed, you know, the Fed's been, like everything else, it's been politicized. The original function of the Fed was to protect the dollar and take care of that. And now they're involved in, you know, all the other stuff too now. So,
well, their main two things are provide full employment and stable inflation. That's their goals right there. That's stated.
Well,
in
that's
there.
Now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just
that
saying.
Wasn't forever that way.
Well, nothing's forever.
Yeah,
Pete.
Yeah,
Pete.
But you're right.
I hate to
you're
shock
right.
you.
I've never liked the Fed. I never.
That this next stimulus bill, you know, forget about it. $1.9 trillion is insane. They haven't even spent all the money from the other two stimulus packages yet. So the whole thing is going bonkers.
I agree.
Now, my question, guys, is I don't know if you can help me with this or not, is can you explain to me how TIPS works, you know, relative to inflation?
Well, they're treasury inflation protected security. So what that means is the idea that they increase in value as inflation goes up, decrease in value as inflation goes down. They're tied to inflation.
Yeah.
So that's a really really simplistic explanation. You can find a better one. All you got to do is Google it, do your own research, and go and look. But that's the idea. It's something that you could put your money into, not all your money, a small percentage of maybe your bond portfolio, depending on how it's broken up, you know, in this day and age, could go into something like
that. And here's something, too. It says, Treasury inflation-protected securities, or TIPS, provide protection against inflation. The principle of a TIPS increases with inflation and decreases with deflation, as measured by the Consumer Price Index. When a TIPS matures, you are paid the adjusted principal or the original principal, whichever is greater.
That's if you're out buying the individual security, but most people don't do that. Yep. They're buying it in a fund. You don't have to worry about the maturity, but that's exactly correct. Yep. Do you understand that, Paul? I mean, because it is confusing.
No, really. I mean, the adjusted principal will be based on the inflation rate over the period it matures. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, I'm just talking about the general principle.
Right.
Not when they mature. That's that's.
But if you're going to buy a TIP, if you're going to buy a TIP.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know, like I'm saying, you know.
Theoretically.
I get Bob Brinker's newsletter, and he's recommended people who are close to retirement or in retirement to go to his more conservative portfolio, you know, his portfolio three, which is more bonds and, you know, everything else. So he's seeing something down the line, that's for sure.
No, he's not that smart.
That's the typical advice, okay?
Yeah.
And you have to do what you feel comfortable with, number one.
The problem is when interest rates are going up, bond investments are usually not a good idea. It's a very difficult
choice.
Well,
the thing I was going to say, what happens if you live to be 100, okay? So you retire in the 60s.
Yeah, I hear you.
You see what I'm saying? So you have to balance it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have okay. Well, you guys have told me what I want to know, so.
Okay, appreciate that.
All right, thanks, guys.
No, thank you for the calling.
Call. Okay. Right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520 or 716-803-1520. I'm afraid to do that because I always foul it up.
Right. We got one on the chat box.
I do that real quick.
Yeah, somebody wants to know about buying Clorox, CLX, closed at 181.05. Says he owns it much higher, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, all of these got run up on the pandemic, obviously, and they were a beneficiary of it. I mean, you know, the chart doesn't look bad, you know,
unless you own it at 240.
Well, it would be nice if the right one came up. It's CLX, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why'd that symbol come up?
Fate, Peter.
Every once in a while, a real good one comes up by mistake, and you go, I don't know. It doesn't look great.
Right.
You know, so it really doesn't. Yeah. The 200 days at 209, where'd it close at?
181.
Not good.
Not
so
good.
You have to have it go above the 200-day. It's at a support area right now. In the 182 or so area. So if it dropped, say, to 180, you'd reevaluate at that point in time. The downside objective, for what it's worth on the charting method, is 132, which is quite a ways down. And, I'd be very careful here.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it hold support right around where it is.
Yeah,
right
156,
now.
I think, is where it started from, or the 52-week low. He also asked about GTEL, but I can't get it. I don't know what that
is.
So. George, Tom, Edward, Larry, but I can't find it.
No, you're right.
Okay.
Even stock charts doesn't have it.
No.
Okay. Might be the wrong stock. Yeah. Okay. Right now, we're going to go to Doug.
Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning, there. I know. The weather ain't the best, but another day closer to spring.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
A couple stocks I was looking at. Darden, DRI, Darden, mm-hmm. D is in David, mm-hmm. R is in restaurants, and international restaurants, I said DIR.
DRI. Boy, is that beautiful. Do you own it or what?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they own what? Red Lobster.
Olive Garden. Smokey Bones. Banana Breeze.
Close at 137.33.
What's that?
137.33 on the close.
Oh, geez. It's unreal. I know they had a dividend, but I think they suspended it. But I don't know if they are coming back on the dividend, because they always paid a nice dividend.
Well, take it with a grain of salt. The price objective, based on the charting method, is 192. That'd be nice.
And it's unreal.
Yeah, they have a 1% dividend, is what I'm showing. 1.1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I would reevaluate if it drops, say, under 123.
Mm-hmm. But I picked it up years ago. At 50.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
So for you, the 200 days at 97. So under 97, you might reevaluate it. You know?
Yeah, the second stock I was looking at was Oracle. Did that tic-tac-toe finally go through? Because I know they him hauling around and stuff like that.
I'm not so sure. You can check the news there. Yeah, it was back and forth. I don't think it went through, to tell you the truth. But
64.51. Peter loves TikTok. He does it at the office all the time.
What is a TikTok? Is that the stuff you eat?
No, no.
We have it in the candy room?
It's TikTok.
Oh, TikTok. Okay. All right.
Oracle closed at 64.
Yeah, it looks all right. You know, it's all of a sudden, I've seen some stuff recently, you know, that people are kind of taking a liking to it lately. And I assume you've owned that for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. And the third stock that I can't believe how much it took off was Snap, SNAP.
Yeah.
They raised the price was raised to $90. To
I'm not going to go over.
Yeah, but I hate to tell you that I picked it up at 20.
You hate to tell us. Now, see, you should be doing the show.
No, but I'm just a retired auto worker. That's the whole thing, and I had to have something to do. So,
just make sure you protect your profits
or take
a little off or whatever, because you'd hate to see round trips, you know. So
I know. Look what happened to General Motors. That was belly up, because I know guys that hourly and salary lost six figures.
I
had a guy from Canada, you know, and he used to call me all the time, and he put everything into General Motors stock in his retirement. And what was the other one? I forgot.
Grants, WT Grants.
No, this in General Motors, they had another one.
GME?
You could put your money in. Could have been. I forgot.
Was it EDS?
Might have been.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he'd always say, "What do you think? Should I sell?" I said, "Look, start taking off, you know, even 100 shares at a time. Okay, you shouldn't be there." You know, my wife loves the company. She won't let me sell. Well, you know what happened, right?
Yeah.
Retirement became zero. So.
Yeah.
Did he get rid of her?
No.
I don't know. I can't tell you that.
All right.
But, it's unreal. And with that Snap, I know that's an interface, and it seems like everybody's jumping in on the bandwagon. I can't believe how much it shot up. It's
65.66 on the close, and I think they had an analyst raise the target to 91 on Thursday.
Well, you know, if it dropped to 60, that wouldn't be particularly good.
No. I thank you so much for the information.
Okay.
All right.
You're
thanks,
quite
Doug.
Welcome. Thank you for calling.
And thank you, and you have a good day and what's left of the weekend.
All right,
okay,
buddy.
Bye-bye. Take
you
care.
You too. Go save us.
Right now, we're going to go to Dave in Wheatfield. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I missed the start of the show, so I don't know if you talked about anything like this, but every time I go on the Internet, there's this talk from one percenters or financial gurus about a watershed moment coming in April or May or so.
Yeah, I see that. I get all sorts of email. I haven't opened any of them. I don't know why, but because I've seen this kind of stuff.
Any clue about what they're talking about? I know one guy refers to the moment as a Genesis moment.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
But it's probably just, not probably, it is a scam, but I'm just wondering what.
Well, they want you to click and you know, they'll lead you to some advisor somewhere. I don't know. I just, you know. If we had answers to those type of things, we wouldn't be here talking to you. So.
Well, you know what? There's a couple of websites that investigate these things.
Oh, good, yeah.
And one of them is called greenbullresearch.com. That's greenbullresearch.com. They try to expose stuff like this. And there's another website, stockgumshoe.com. I try both of those. They may have some information on that.
What's the other one that there's one with all the rumors and all that stuff? There's a website that I can't think of the name.
I don't know, but those are two good websites for, you know, them looking into you know what's going on, you know.
And at some point they'll be right. There's going to be.
I've seen emails for a long time with different dates. You know, like watch out for January 15th. Watch out for.
I don't think you have to worry, but.
But, you know, try those two websites. They might have an answer for you.
All right. Very good. And one last question. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an indication of where you think National Fuel's going?
National Fuel.
NFG.
NFG. Let's see. Well, certainly picked up a little. It's been dead for quite a while, but bit of a trading range now. But it broke out of the trading range, it looks like. Potential price target, believe it or not, 62, which is probably not out of the question. Built a nice base. Yeah, so, I mean, now all of a sudden, after I don't know how long, it's looking better. And the 200 days at, what, 42? And the last price is 45, so... No, ideally, I'd like to see it, you know, stay above 42. But the trading range has been basically 45 to 39, 38 to 45.
Yeah, might it have something to do with less gas production?
I don't know, whatever.
Pipeline stuff?
Yeah, but for some reason, you know, it looks better than it's looked in a long time. So I would be a holder. I'd take a look again if it got, you know, under 42. And but other than that, you know, I'd probably stick with it.
All righty.
All right, very good.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go next to...
Got a couple minutes, Pete.
Charlie in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Great. I'm kind of a new listener to the show, and I'm understanding that this is a show about stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you guys were familiar with crypto.
I am to a certain extent. Unfortunately, we only have about a minute to go, or not even. We have to get off right now. But
why don't you call next week?
Yeah.
Call early.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Keep a little powder dry.
Have a nice weekend. Stay dry.
Right.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.